/newsletters and never miss a beat.
It's time to review the top three highlights of the day. I'm joined, as always, by my co-anchor, Snoop.
Hey, what up, though?
Snoop, number one has to be getting the new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence at T-Mobile.
Yeah, you should hustle down to T-Mobile like a dog chasing a squirrel chasing a nut.
Nice analogy, Snoop. Dogs do love to chase squirrels.
And squirrels love to chase those nuts.
On the highlight number two, at T-Mobile, families can save 20% every month versus the other big guys.
That is very impressive. You know, y'all can take some of those savings and buy some Snoop merchandise.
That's exactly what I'm planning on doing with my savings, Snoop. Now, take it away, Snoop.
Head to T-Mobile.com and get the new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence on them. Now drop that jingle.
24-month bill credits, eligible trade-in on Go5G Next. Well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 connection charge. Cancel entire account before receiving 24 bill credits and credits. Stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off device early. See how you can save versus the other big guys at T-Mobile.com/switch. Apple Intelligence coming fall 2024.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Colorado, authorities say a tour guide at the gold mine near Cripple Creek died in the incident yesterday. Nearly a dozen others were trapped for hours 1,000 feet below until they were rescued. Teller County Sheriff Jason Mikesell says a mechanical issue with the elevator is the focus of the investigation.
We know that at 500 feet is where the issue occurred. We know that there was some type of an incident with the doors. And at that point, something went wrong. We don't know what caused that. We don't know how it happened.
In Florida, water rescues continue after Hurricane Milton, and at least 16 have died, and more than 2 million customers remain without power. Vice President Kamala Harris in Arizona for campaign events joined the federal response briefing with President Biden on video, telling those impacted by hurricanes in the southeast the nation stands with them. Former President Trump this afternoon in Colorado holding a rally in Aurora. This is ABC News. Families of passengers who died in two Boeing MAX crashes today asking a federal judge in Texas to throw out a plea agreement, calling it a sweetheart deal for the aircraft manufacturer. The families say the punishment is too light and that no Boeing officials are facing criminal charges. This, as a new report, criticizes Boeing oversight.
Boeing is dealing with a number of issues. Now the Department of Transportation's Inspector General is out with a report saying the FAA's oversight of Boeing's production issues on the 737 and 787 Dreamliner is not effective. The report finds the FAA's oversight process has been unable to appropriately identify and resolve Boeing's production issues. The audit saying by improving oversight, the FAA can improve a failing system and restore public trust in the safety of Boeing aircraft. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Northern lights dazzling the skies as far south as Virginia last night after a severe geomagnetic outburst. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. Projects across rural Wisconsin are getting some help courtesy of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Rural Development State Director Julie Lassa says the $93 million comes from the Inflation Reduction Act.
So it's great to be seeing this type of investment from legislation like that coming back to Wisconsin, to businesses and farm operations all around the state. It's really a substantial investment in our rural communities.
Largest investment includes $91.5 million going towards solar projects in Dane and La Crosse counties. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is proposing over $200,000 in fines for a Janesville business accused of repeated safety violations.
OSHA says Universal Recycling Technologies was cited in April of 2023 for exposing employees to unsafe levels of lead and cadmium while they dismantled tubes from older TVs. A follow-up inspection in April of 2024 found the company continuing to expose workers to unsafe levels of the toxic heavy metals. OSHA says overexposure to lead and cadmium can cause severe damage to blood-forming, nervous, urinary, and reproductive systems. Universal Recycling Technologies has 15 days to either comply, request an informal conference with OSHA's area director, or contest the findings before the Independent Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. Andrea Morrow, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Many office jobs are no longer going to be in an office. That's the assessment from UW-Madison business professor Yers Muras, who says work-from-home jobs will remain part of the economy long past the pandemic.
I think there are still some companies that are fully remote, and there's a lot of companies that now have some kind of hybrid model that they're using.
Mira says the idea that workers need to be in a physical office to be productive has been largely dispelled. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Cooler weather on the way in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Partly sunny throughout the day today. We'll have temperatures in the mid-70s, west winds at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows low 40s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight chance of an afternoon shower, highs low 60s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas boys football. The Panthers are at Mondovi. Our Advent Health Panther preview is at 6:45. Kickoff at 7 o'clock tonight here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN.
USDA's October crop production report featured just minor changes to the outlook for this year's corn and soybean crops, but what these estimates did was it locked in the big crops on the supply side of the balance sheets. Both corn and soybeans were under pressure in post-report trade. Wheat followed to the downside, while the cattle complex limped into the end of the week, and lean hogs closed at the highest level in 6 months.
Live from L Weekly Grand Finale via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Varsity Joe Baklovic from Standard Grain. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's 82 degrees up here in Northeast Iowa. What is today? It? Is today August 11th? No, it must be September. No.
No.
October 11th, and it's 82 degrees up here, man.
Yeah. I mean, down here in the Midwestern subtropics, we're only at 84. I mean, you're basically experiencing Kansas City weather up there. How do you like it?
I guess. Well, this is how this is living the good life, I guess, up here in Northeast Iowa with 80 degrees.
Absolutely. In a 24-hour period, we get to experience basically all four seasons these days.
Tonight
at like 3 a.m., it'll be winter.
Now, these are the efficiencies that we've been talking about. If we can get all four of these seasons into a 24-hour period, it can be pumpkin spice weather all year round on 363 days. Efficiency,
what a
people.
Horrible experience that would be right there.
What?
Pumpkin spice 363?
That's right.
Stop
That's
it.
Right. You get a
Stop
day off.
Stop it. Oh. Yeah, I'd need more than a couple of days off in there. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis and Big Apple Joe Steckler. We've got another Big Joe on. Joe Baklovic, Standard Grain, is on the show today, man.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Great day to have Joe on. We're going to talk about what USDA gave us in the crop production reports, the World Ag Supply and Demand estimates. Not a lot of change, or I don't think anything really surprising in the crop production report. But you know what? It's October. These are big boy and big girl crop estimates now. They've got some age on them. You lock them in. There's not going to be a lot of movement in these crop estimates from this point forward. So what does that mean? What does that mean on the balance sheets for us as we get deeper and deeper into the marketing year? So, and hogs. Dude, did you see that? That was a nice move in hogs late in the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, Chip, USDA put the 24-25 wheat carryover estimate at 812 million bushels, down 16 million bushels from last month and 7 million bushels below the average pre-report trade estimate. The feature on the demand side of the balance sheet was a 10 million bushel increase in estimated feed and residual use. Global wheat carryover was increased a 500,000 metric tons from last month, but is still in a year-to-year downtrend. December soft red winter wheat futures posted an outside trading day with the close just below the opening range. December wheat spiked support at $6 before recovering to settle above that level. These HRW wheat futures 6.5 cents lower today at 6.04 and a half. December SRW wheat down 4 3/4 to 5.99. December spring wheat closed at 6.43 3/4, down 6.5 cents, Chip.
All right. Yeah, that year-to-year decline in global wheat stocks, I think that's putting some float in that market, preventing a major sell-off there. Hopefully that will continue. December soft red winter wheat futures on the week up 9.25 cents. December KC wheat up 6.5 cents. And December spring wheat up 5.25 cents.
Well, Chip, USDA increased the 2024 corn crop estimate 17 million bushels from last month on a 0.2 bushel increase in the national average corn yield. That puts it at 183.8 bushels per acre. The supply increase was more than offset by a drop in beginning stocks from last month, and carryover dropped 58 million bushels from last month. But at 1.999 billion bushels, carryover is 55 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess. Corn traded through the pivotal 420 level early in the session, but fell to close near session lows in post-report trade. Today's close in December corn was the lowest since September 26. December corn futures 2 3/4 lower at 4.15 3/4. March corn down 3 1/4 cents to 4.33. July corn futures closed at 4.47 1/4. That's down 3 3/4, Chip.
You know, here it is, a report day. Here it is, October 11th, in a year where harvest is just cranking out super quick. And we went into a harvest weekend down 2 to 4 cents in corn. That's not bad. It's not bad. I don't know exactly what it means for us, but that's not a bad price performance at all. On the week, December corn down 9 cents, March corn down 8 3/4 cents.
Well, Chip, USDA trimmed 0.1 bushel from the national average soybean yield, putting it at 53.1 bushels per acre. That puts the 2024 bean crop at 4.582 billion bushels, down 4 million bushels from last month, but 3 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess. Mm-hmm. New crop bean carryover is estimated at 550 million bushels, steady with last month, just slightly above trade expectations. December soybean meal has closed lower in 8 consecutive sessions and finished today at the lowest level since September 3rd. November bean futures rallied to trade above 10.25 for the first time this week, closed near the low of the day and at the lowest level since September 16. November beans were 9 1/4 cents lower at 10.05 1/2. January beans down 10.5 cents to 10.21. March beans closed at 10.35, down 11.5 cents. 5.5 cents is not far enough away from a 9 handle for me in that November contract.
No, there it is. We're knocking on the door again. That's exactly right. December soybean meal on the week was the big percentage loser for us, down 4.66% on the week. That's $15.40 a ton. December soybean oil was down just 64 points. November beans down 32 1/4. March beans down 36 1/4.
USDA estimated the 2024 cotton crop at 14.201 million bales, down 311,000 bales from last month. But carryover is estimated at 4.1 million bales. That's up 100,000 from last month. December cotton today was 45 points lower, 72.21, Chip.
Yeah, on the week, December cotton was down 106 points to, down 106 points. That's right.
Well, cash cattle trade mostly steady this week. Today, December live cattle traded to a new high for the week before setting back to close just above support at 187.50. December fat cattle 70 cents lower, 187.57 and a half. November feeders 15 cents lower, 249.80. And on the snout side, December lean hog futures closed above resistance at 77.50 for the first time since April 25. December lean hog futures 70 cents higher at 77.65. The February contract up 75 cents, 81.15. Chip.
Yeah. Heavyweight choice graded boxed beef values this morning up $1.10, 311.05. Movement was slow, 51 loads. But nonetheless, I mean, here we are back above 310 on the heavyweight choice graded box beef. That's an impressive move. On the week, December live cattle futures up 57.5 cents. November feeder cattle up 52.5. And December lean hogs up $1.50 on the week. It was an impressive week for the market. Finally getting some upside breakaway price action in lean hogs. Joe Vaclavic, Standard Grain, is up next here on AgriTalk.
It's harvest time across the region, and that means long hours for you and the machines you depend on. It also means a heavier load of dust, dirt, and contaminants for those machines. That's why you should protect them with Donaldson Filters. Donaldson offers a full line of air, fuel, lube, and hydraulic filters engineered to deliver superior performance and protection for your equipment. No wonder so many OEMs worldwide specify Donaldson Filters. After all, Donaldson literally invented the tractor air filter. Ask for Donaldson Filters at your local parts supplier today.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
What's the...
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Friday afternoon. Joe Vaclavic, Standard Grain, is our guest analyst. Joe, my friend, it is good to talk to you again. How are you?
Guess who's back, buddy? It's been a while. I haven't been on the show in at least a year, probably.
It's been a while. There's no doubt. No doubt.
Everything I go good? Way back with this show. I go way back with the show. When the show was Market Rally, I remember driving to from Chicago to South Bend to the Farm Journal studio to host it like years ago. And then we did some remote stuff and it got, you know, that made everybody's life a little bit easier. But I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Good. Yeah. Believe it or not, Davis, check me on this, but the show's been the afternoon hour of AgriTalk, like you said, started out as Marker Rally, has been on the air now for 11 and a half years.
Wow. I think that's right. Yeah, that's I believe it, but it goes by fast.
Yes, it certainly does. It certainly does. All right, man, let's talk about this crop production report. Start with corn. Yield up 2/10 of a bushel. I don't know if that might have caught some leaning slightly in the wrong direction, but it's not enough to make a huge difference, is it?
No, it's not. The average trade guesses going into the report, I suppose the traders that were polled expected small decreases to the yield numbers, and we got a small increase in corn. I don't know, however, that those estimates are the end-all be-all. I think somebody thought that this was going to be a bullish report based on how the market acted prior or after the report.
Right.
I mean, you saw the markets hold up, trade higher going into it, and then you got this kind of nothing to neutralish deal, and we sold off. So somebody out there, fund manager, whoever, thought we were going to see something friendly, and we really didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, everybody's expectations were we're going to get carryover under 2 billion bushels. Well, we did.
And we're there.
Yeah. By a million. That I think was a bit of a disappointment to those wannabe price friendly corn traders too, right?
Yeah. One of the things that I look at is the stocks to use ratio.
Yeah.
And I believe in corn for 24-25, the projection is we're still going to be north of like 13% for the United States, which is a number that's a lot closer to like the 2014 through 2019 period when we were in kind of the dog days, a lot closer to that than it is to what we saw in the, you know, bull markets of 21 and 22 when we were sub 10% stocks to use ratio. So despite the fact that we've got a better look, we no longer have a 2 in front of the carryout, we have a 1. I mean, that's a great start, but statistically, we're still in burdensome territory.
Yeah. I don't, with the stocks use ratio where it's at right now, I mean, it's not like it's over 15. Over 15 is a negative stocks to use ratio. Mm-hmm. Where we're at right now, I think you're right, Joe. To me, that feels like a steady as she goes kind of situation for the balance sheet right now. Yeah.
I think demand's headed in the right direction. USDA increased its export projection today. I think the ethanol number may come up as well. The pace of ethanol production has been running a couple percentage points ahead of last year's pace, yet USDA says we're going to use less corn for ethanol this year. So if we could stay on track and maintain a pace that's a couple percent above last year's pace, I mean, 2% doesn't sound like a lot, but on 5.4 billion bushels or whatever the number is, it is a lot. So I'm kind of positive on the demand front. The crop's there. The crop's good. That's old news. Maybe it changes a little bit, but the demand is kind of what we have to shift gears and start watching.
Okay. So with that, I'm going to jump over and let's talk about something other than reports for just a little bit. We're going to have to come back to it. But what I'm looking at is the export sales announcements that came out this morning, and Unknown was a big buyer this week of some corn. What are your thoughts? I mean, is it Europe? Is it Colombia? Is it Japan? Or could it have been China in there?
My thought is that it was a good sale. If it was China, the market would have told you that it was China, and somebody would have known, and the market would have closed sharply higher today. So the lower close today following that leads me to believe that it was not China. I hope I'm wrong about that, because China is the global buyer, whether you love them or hate them. They're the global buyer that could really move the needle for us in terms of exports and therefore the balance sheets. So just based on how the market acted, I mean, yeah, they report these sales to unknown destinations, but whoever did the business knows who it is. And the bigger players in the commercial grain industry, somebody has a clue, and somebody probably knows that it's not China.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And the thing is, it's demand. That's what should be the bottom line on it. But because there's this attitude around China, you got to pay attention. And if it would have been China, I think you're exactly right, Joe. I think that's more bullish than selling corn to Colombia or selling corn to Mexico.
Yeah, if you get China, I mean, if that was a China number, that number in a vacuum, like just to any destination, doesn't really matter. But if that's to China, then that's going to immediately lead to thoughts that, oh my gosh, it's China. They're going to do what they did 3 or 4 yeah. years ago. And there's going to be a whole lot more behind it. And I just don't think that's what we saw today.
Okay. With that in mind, how much attention did we need to pay to the stimulus, the economic stimulus efforts that the Chinese government has put in place?
I can't help but wonder if it's almost old news now. So Bloomberg had an article. It was printed yesterday afternoon. They're expecting China tomorrow on Saturday to announce another $283 billion in stimulus. And given that it was printed in a publication that every trader on the planet reads, I would venture to say that it's largely discounted. So when and if they come and announce that on Saturday, is it already priced into the marketplace? Maybe it was. I mean, the bean market absolutely moved on the China stimulus. Was that a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And then when China came back from holiday and they didn't have any details, we kind of backed off on it. I think it is important, though. China, some people think China is in like a 2008 type moment economically and that they're really going to pull out all the stops and do some really severe things with regard to stimulus. And maybe that means they buy more beans from the U.S. Maybe it doesn't. But from a sentiment standpoint, I mean, it is a positive. I just can't help but wonder what's been priced in and what hasn't.
Yeah. Okay. I understand the economic stimulus and what that can do to consumer attitudes and buying patterns in China. But when we're talking about raw commodities like feed, it's not like all of a sudden there's going to be that many more hogs on feed or that many more birds on feed or that many more cattle on feed. I don't know exactly how this is going to translate into demand for corn, soybeans, and wheat.
Did you notice that USDA reduced its China corn import forecast today? They went from 21 million down to 19. They left the soybean number unchanged at 109, but USDA is kind of showing their hand here and that they're kind of pessimistic on this import program for corn.
Yeah. Okay. I did not notice that. Thank you. All right. Let's talk a little bit about this bean number in here, too. What on the balance sheet caught your attention?
It's incredibly bearish. It's incredibly bearish. I mean, I don't know how you could argue otherwise. And with corn, you know, I made the argument that I think the demand could be better and that you could see USDA pencil in some better demand in the future. Exports and ethanol are both possibilities there. I just don't know where you're going to find the demand in soybeans, which you've got to not hope for. But if you want to see that balance sheet tighten up for the United States, you need a Brazilian weather problem and you need China and other global buyers to come into the export market in the United States and buy more beans. I don't know that it's any more complicated than that. The one thing that could be positive as we get into next year, and it's way too early for acreage talk, but I don't see any reason why anybody would get excited about planting $10.50 soybeans on the board, which is like, you know, $9 cash soybeans or below 10 at least. I mean, in 2025, maybe that's something that helps you out bigger picture, but it's a very tough situation. And the global soybean situation is even more negative than the U.S. situation. I mean, the stocks to use ratio there is going to be higher than it was during the trade war. If USDA is anywhere near reality, which is hugely problematic, I don't like to get too bearish when like things look as bad as I've ever seen them, because that very rarely works out for me, but this is pretty bad.
Yeah. So it sounds like you think when you say bearish, you think prices are going down, just not going up.
I don't think that. I'm making any price predictions. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm saying that the situation as it stands now on paper, given the government projections, and this is assuming that Brazil is going to have this monster crop, are hugely, hugely bearish. They're very burdensome. Maybe burdensome is the right word, in that rallies will be capped because of the situation. Now, if Brazil runs into a major weather issue, all bets are off and things can change very quickly, but that's a November, December thing. It's not a September, October thing.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. We are breaking down the USDA reports. We've done a lot of it already with Joe Vaklevic from Standard Grain. A couple of things that we want to get to next year, Joe. We've got this super fast harvest underway. Mm-hmm. What's that going to do to the markets? we've got elections coming up, and there's a lot of talk about the different trade policies or trade plans, I guess, that the different administrations might have. Could that have an impact on markets? We're talking with Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa! That was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. DiscoverTheForest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 6.5 cents lower at 604.5. December soft red wheat down 4.75 cents to 599. December corn futures 2.75 lower, 415.75. March corn down 3.25 cents to 433. November soybean futures 9.25 cents lower at 1005.5. January beans down 10.5 cents to 1021. December cotton today, 45 points lower, 72.21. December fat cattle were 70 cents lower at 187.57.5. November feeder futures 15 cents lower, 249.80. And December lean hog futures 70 cents higher on the day, 77.65. Get more market news every market day. Just visit tryprofarmer.com.
Want to get smarter?
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
At Jerry Bear and Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear and Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
Cooler weather on the way in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Partly sunny throughout the day today. We'll have temperatures in the mid-70s, west winds at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows low 40s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight chance of an afternoon shower, highs low 60s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas boys football. The Panthers are at Mondovi. Our Advent Health Panther preview is at 6:45. Kickoff at 7 o'clock tonight here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of a conversation with today's guest analyst, Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain. Joe, got a question from a listener. You ready?
Yes. Yes, I'm ready.
Why do bean oil and meal seem to always trade in opposite directions?
That's just how traders trade them. That's how they do it. And that's how they used to do it in Chicago. They trade these spreads. I don't have any explanation for it. I'm not an expert on it, but yes, it happens all the time, every day.
Yeah. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll take a position on in soybeans and then they'll put a spread on, you know, either short oil or long meal, short oil, with the idea that if the market does make a sudden move, they're not going to get hurt as bad if it goes against their bean position, and they'll appreciate on their bean position, but it might be cut back just a little bit by some losses in another market. So it's kind of a hedge against a bean position is what I always observe down there on the floor. So
the one thing I'll say about it is that meal is the much more important market if you're looking for soybean price direction, because when you crush soybeans, the vast majority of your output is meal and not oil. And that's why I know in the news section, you guys mentioned the meal rally and how it's kind of failed. That's part of the reason the soybean rallies failed. Without that meal leadership, or at least meal moving along with beans on the rally, it's very difficult to keep beans up.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, the meal situation is one of the reasons that I just have a hard time coming up with a bullish story in the soy complex right now, because we're going to crush, and the soybean oil is going to be used. They're going to find a home for that. But this meal, man, we got to find markets for it, and it's got to be an export market, I think.
Oh, yeah, and that's an old story. People have been talking about that for 2-3 years now, about this crush expansion. And yeah, it's going to be great for bean oil and maybe for beans, but what the hell are we going to do with all the meal?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be a problem if it's not already.
Yeah, we can turn it into pork and we can turn it into poultry, but you still got to have a place for that to go too.
Yep.
So, yeah, tough stuff. So we talked a little bit about the traders. What are the funds doing now?
Well, the funds are now, they're still net short the markets, but in a much less material fashion. There was a massive short covering event, and the fund positions, I would call them right now, just they're not of consequence. They're more balanced. They're still net short, but it's not a record net short. It's not even a big net short across corn, soybeans, wheat, any of those markets. So they can do what they want here. They can keep kind of a neutral bias. They can get heavy short again. They could get long if they want, but it's not like, it's not this big, you know, elephant in the room like it was a couple months ago.
Right. You know, one of the things that I feel like Davis and I have talked about it a million times this year, there for a long time, we just wanted the funds to stop selling. Once they stopped selling, okay, now if we can just get them out of shorts. Well, now that they're out of shorts, we got to figure out how to get them long. And I'm running out of reasons. I mean, I guess we could look at some of the inflation numbers and say, oh, there might be an inflationary play again. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't see it. Inflation's over, Chip. I mean, as it relates to how the Fed views inflation, which is on an annualized percent change basis, you know, inflation's 2.5% higher than it was a year ago. I mean, yeah, everything's 30% more expensive than it was before COVID. I get that part of it, but I don't see the inflation as being a story that comes back anytime soon.
Right. Yeah. And not in a way that's going to bring a bunch of speculative money onto the long side of the grain markets. I agree.
There are some commodities that have acted well. Like you look at gold or silver, some of the outside stuff has acted really well. And I do feel like some of that has to do with maybe the Fed cuts, maybe currency debasement, just the fact that we've created so much currency. But the grain markets have just very clearly demonstrated that they're not overly interested in that sort of thing. Although I do have a statistic for you. I had a chart that I had in one of our newsletters a couple weeks ago, and it was about corn prices and inflation. So back before COVID, before all the money was printed, and you're like, say, call it the post ethanol pre COVID era, like 2007 through like 2020 or most of 2020, bottom of the barrel corn price was $3 a bushel. Futures went to $3 a few different times, but never broke through there during that period. Our recent low, this year's low in D's corn, was 385, which I believe is like 28% higher than the old low, which was $3. And CPI during that same time frame has increased like 22%. So if that 385 low in D's corn was like if that was a major low and that's your new bottom of the barrel, like that's where we go when things get really bad. You can make the argument corn has adjusted for inflation.
Yep. 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 I hear you.
And maybe that means that when we do dig ourselves out of this crappy market, whenever that is, whether it's this year or 10 years from now, maybe you got to go like $2 higher than you did before or a dollar higher than you did before. I don't know.
Right. Right. You know, but I remember
it may be premature to say that 385 is a major low, though. It may be premature to say. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And every time I hear something like that, I think back to 1995, 1996, when I said corn has moved to a new and higher pricing plateau.
Well, it does happen. I mean, it happened in the like pre versus post ethanol ran to a new plateau, and the verdict is still out on whether we're at another one now, I guess.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay. Elections. When you think about the elections and the ag markets, is there a connection that's got you interested here?
I don't know. I mean, so in 2016, Trump was not a known commodity. I don't want to get political, but I think the trade is well aware that there's a 50% chance at least that Trump gets elected and starts a trade war, right? The trade is very aware of this. Whereas in 2016, I think it was more of a wild card. So I don't know how much of that is discounted in the market. I mean, Chip, China hasn't bought a ton of beans. They're, I think the Chinese purchases of new crop or this current marketing year, U.S. soybeans are like the third worst of the last 10 years. And the only 2 years that were worse were 2018 and 2019, which were trade war years. So you could almost argue that the Chinese purchase program for U.S. beans is like trade war-ish already. I don't know that like Trump being elected has to be of consequence for the soybean market right off the bat. I don't know that that's a fact.
Okay. Now, talk to me about tariffs, and it doesn't matter if we're talking about the Harris, a potential Harris administration, or a Trump 2.0 administration. Tariffs, I think, are going to be part of the landscape in trade when we get a new administration. What does that do to us?
Well, it depends on if China's going to retaliate or not. So China officially, as far as I understand it, still has tariffs in place on U.S. soybeans. They just waive them in basically every instance. Yeah. So all they've got to do is just say, hey, we're not waiving the tariffs anymore. I don't know if China needs to buy U.S. beans or not. A lot of that's going to go back again to Brazil and what sort of crop that they have. But I think what China has proven, tariffs or no tariffs or limited tariffs or some tariffs. I mean, the Biden administration has hiked tariffs on a whole bunch of Chinese stuff like 2 weeks ago. China's going to buy beans from us only when they're affordable and only when they need them. And they're going to buy like the bare minimum amount for the most part.
Okay. All right. Man, this harvest, Joe, this is happening in a hurry. We are fast and furious, buddy.
Yeah.
Dumping product onto the market with a fire hose, dude. What kind of an impact is that going to have?
Well, Logic would tell me that, okay, last year farmers made a big mistake in that they held on to grain in a carry market with high interest rates and high storage costs. They got killed by basis contracts that were rolled a couple times, more than that in some situations, and that maybe they won't repeat the same mistakes of last year. But I think a lot of the same mistakes from last year are going to be repeated 100%. I think the farmer was undersold coming into harvest. That's my general opinion of the situation, just based on what I know. Also based on the fact that the farmer was undersold with regard to old crop going into late summer. I mean, if you're still sending out a bunch of old crop late summer, you're probably undersold for new crop also. So my fear is that we see kind of a repeat of last year. We get into these basis contract pricing periods. You see the market pressured, and then maybe it eases a little bit. And then it happens again, and then it eases a little bit for a couple months. I could see a similar scenario playing out again. There's a lot of obstacles to hanging on to physical grain. I mean, as I mentioned, high interest rates, storage costs are up, carries in the market. They're all obstacles to storage. But if you're a farmer, are you supposed to just come out of the field and sell at a loss? I mean, that's not a great proposition either. I mean, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. The only thing that could have bailed you out in hindsight would have been aggressive forward marketing, you know, and there's nothing that we can do about that now.
Right. Right.
It's a really tough situation. Chip, the farm, but you know this. I mean, the farm economy is in a full-blown recession. I mean, we're in a full-blown recession. And it, I was not really optimistic, but I was when the market started to rally here the last few weeks, I was like, man, maybe we can actually dig ourselves out of this. But I just, I don't know if it's going to be that simple.
Okay. One thing that's got me a little, oh man, we're almost out of time, but I'm going to go ahead and ask this anyway. One thing that's got me a little confused is you look across the Midwest and get up into the, you know, northern Iowa, western Iowa, Nebraska. There are some basis levels out there that are not on corn that are not reflecting a glut. It doesn't look like it's getting swamped yet. I don't understand it.
Is it because nobody's selling or is it because the crop's not there? I think the crop's there.
Yeah.
There were problem areas. There were problem areas, and basis, of course, is regional. I mean, the areas that had the really wet spring, I mean, yeah, basis is going to be better there as it should be.
Yeah. Okay. Man, it's always fun to talk to you, Joe. How do we find you? How do listeners find you out there?
You know where the podcast is at. Grain Markets and Other Stuff. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. We're on every single day at we're up before 6 a.m. Central every single day. And that's why I don't do this show that much anymore because I start working so damn early.
I love it.
Yeah,
check Thank it out. You, Joe. Appreciate you, man. Good to talk to you. You bet. Davis and I will be right back.
I'm Tiny.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
A fast-paced lifestyle. I was clearing a weapons cache in Haditha, Iraq, when the building collapsed on me, burying me alive. I spent 6 months in the hospital and a year of recovery. When I was separated from the military, I just felt like I was useless because I only had this one thing that I was supposed to do, and then that one thing was taken away from me. But then one day, I got a call from Wounded Warrior Project. They asked me to come to a workout, and I decided that I was going to get better, both physically and mentally. Now I'm a warrior leader. I create events and opportunities for other veterans locally. Wounded Warrior Project did a phenomenal job reminding me that my injuries aren't going to define who I am. And because of that, I can do anything that I want.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
Stop hoping for the best with your dry fertilizer. Apply Titan XC, a powerful biocatalyst that optimizes the breakdown of your dry fertilizer for increased nutrient availability and uptake. Power crop performance next season and maximize your yield, even with variable weather, prices, or soil types, with Titan XC. Visit cropfertility.com or contact your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant to learn more.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk. And here's the good news, beloved listener. You are listening to AgriTalk right now. This is the show. There's not much left, though. Your pal, Davis Michelson, wrapping it up on a Friday. Chip Flory.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I went into full goofball radio mode.
That's okay, man.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's good.
I'm very excited.
All right.
I'm looking. Huh? Go ahead.
Oh no, you're doing what? What are you doing? Come on.
Well, I was just saying. I was just talking to Big Apple off the air there. The wife and I were on the bill at a 1985 music party tonight. So we'll be doing various selections from the year 1985. We've been working on it for like a month now to get this thing pulled together. It's gonna be awesome. Nice. It's gonna be awesome.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
That's what
nice.
I got. You got big plans?
Have you got any Michael that you're playing in that?
No, there's no Michael. No.
No Michael?
No Michael.
Is it worth going then?
There will be Hall & Oates.
Okay.
There will be Prince. Huh?
Nice.
Here's the Fears. Simple Minds.
You know I'm a Prince fan. Yeah.
We're going to hit them all. And then there's some, because some of these dudes, these are my jazz buddies. So we really don't know how to play pop music. But for some of our little jazz songs, we've decided that since it's for 1985, we would play the jazz compositions, but sing the choruses to such songs as Take These Broken Wings. And Material Girl over top of our jazz songs.
Okay.
It's very experimental. I think it's going to be a smash. I'm looking forward to it.
I want to see some video. That's for sure.
Done deal.
All right.
You know I love to send you video. Yes, you were going to make a point probably about something important, if I'm not mistaken. No?
Well, as long as we're talking about what's going on this weekend, you know, it feels like we're going to get a change over to fall.
Yes, it does.
By the time, you know, like Joe said, Big Apple Joe said, we're going to be compressing several seasons into a short period of time.
Which here. I like.
And the wind's going to come around and blow from the north, which will hopefully blow some birds right down that old migratory flyway.
Here we go.
I'll be out there waiting for them. Be out there waiting for them. Come on.
They signed us up for 89 degrees tomorrow, Saturday, but then Sunday, we're down to 74, Monday, 65.
Man, that is hot tomorrow. That is hot. Yeah. 72 up here.
Okay.
Is what we're looking at for a high tomorrow. 59 on Sunday.
Oh, gotta like that.
Here it comes. 30 degrees come Tuesday morning. Wow.
Now, a shift in the weather like this, temperatures aloft and whatnot. I haven't seen really that much on potential thunderstorms or storm activity related to this shift over in the weather there. I hope I'm not missing something, but I'm not seeing anything. Have you seen anything?
No, you got to get all the way out to next week or next weekend. Saturday, it looks like there is at least an outside chance for some rain to come into the upper Midwest. But before that, you're exactly right. We're going to have this cold front go through, and there's just no energy to go with it, no moisture to go with it. And it looks like it's going to stay mostly dry during that period. Now, we're going to get some wind. There'll be some clouds that will roll through, but we got to wait all the way until next weekend to get some rain. Okay.
Yeah.
One thing that I wanted to get to in the crop production reports, and that is the states where some record yields are expected. South Dakota at 163 bushels per acre, Wisconsin 182 bushels per acre, Nebraska 196, Iowa 214, Illinois 222 for a state average yield, Louisiana 189. Okay, so we get a little bit of help, not a little bit of help, we get some help from Mississippi down there too at 187 bushels per acre, but you get outside of that, Alabama's at 100, Georgia's at 149, South Carolina's at 95, North Carolina 88, Virginia 103. You know, when you're setting a record national average corn yield, it feels to me, normally I would expect that there's going to be help from all the fringe states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Gulf states, the Southeast. There's no help. for the most part, there's just no help. So what happens if we hit it in the Midwest and the Southeast hits it too? All of a sudden, are we talking about the potential for a 190 or something like that for a national average corn yield? There's one other hashtag, a couple others on here, actually. Michigan at 179 bushels per acre. New York at 168 bushels per acre. So some impressive corn yields out there, but also we've got some corn yields out there that were hammered by drought in the Southeast. So hashtags are record yields on the soybean yield map. Iowa's in at 64. Illinois's in at 67 with record yields.
Mm.
You've got Missouri in at 51. You've got Arkansas in at 55. You got Mississippi at 58. But we're not looking at record yields in North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Minnesota, Wisconsin. I mean, Indiana, Ohio, I haven't mentioned them on corn or beans. So some real tough situations some good situations in that Iowa-Illinois corridor, obviously. But get this. You got Alabama in at 31, Georgia at 39, South Carolina 38, North Carolina 37, Virginia. Virginia must have caught a rain late, 44 for a state average bean yield there. So, again, we're looking at a national average bean yield record at 53.1 bushels per acre, but not everybody is helping to pull to the upside on that. Yeah. All right, let's get to it. The National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for today, October 17th through the 21st. Man, the above normal temperatures are back into the middle of the country. The entire Corn Belt looking at above normal temperatures. Precipitation, we've got above normal precipitation expected across most of Wisconsin, far western Illinois, and points to the west of that. You got to get out to the eastern Corn Belt to get to the below normal precipitation. The 8 to 14 day, October 19 through the 25, above normal temperatures and above normal precipitation over the middle of the country. Thank you so much for listening today. Monday morning, Machinery Pete and Justin Tupper from U.S. Cattlemen's Association. Have a great weekend. Be safe.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on,
We decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Lowe's knows that to win the job, pros need the best prices. That's why only at Lowe's, MVP's Pro Rewards members can get a volume discount on eligible orders as low as $1,500 at the Pro Desk. That means you get the prices you need to start any job, small or large. Because Lowe's knows pros. Valid in-store only. More terms and restrictions apply. Visit Lowe's.com/terms.